98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport podcast.
Derek Ryan, good morning again. How are you?
Good morning, Jamie.
The Dublin Miners into the Leinster final, sir.
They are indeed, yeah. They're looking to retain their Leinster crown. Obviously, they won it last year, and they're going to face Kilkenny in the Leinster final in the next few weeks because they beat Wexford yesterday. Edge past Wexford, it has to be said. Wexford kind of had a bit of a comeback towards the end of the game. It was 20 points to 114, the final score. Wexford needed a goal at the end of the game. They couldn't get it. So Dublin kind of, I suppose, edged in there in the end, but they're supposed they were in control for most of the game. They're going to face Kilkenny, like I say, in the Leinster final. And we've seen over the last few months the Dublin Miners from last year, the likes of Donald Burke from last year's Dublin Miners team coming into the senior team. So we're probably going to see some of these lads over the next couple of years in the Dublin senior team. Hopefully we will anyway. But yeah, so they're on course to retain their crown still with a win over Wexford yesterday in the semi-final, 20 points to 114 at Parnell Park.
Now, the Dublin Senior Football Championship quarter-final lineup is confirmed, Derek, and we're going to have James McCarthy on the show next Sunday, Dublin defender and also a player for Ballymunkeghams. I spoke to him sitting on Hill 16 at Croke Park on Friday. Great place to do an interview. And he was telling me how they were expecting a tough match against St Mary's in the last game, and it's fair to say it's the most comprehensive win I've ever heard of in my life.
It was. Well, they're going to be in the quarterfinals anyway. That's been confirmed. 8-18 to 2 points, the final score from their game against St Mary's yesterday in Sagard. So a comprehensive win, like I say, for Ballymunkeghams. 8-18 to 2 points. Yeah, that says a lot about
the second.
How many
points is that total? That'd be 24 points for the goals and 18 for the points, so 24, 34, 42 points.
You're
to
some man for the maths, fair play to you, Jamie.
That's
it's too early in the morning for that for me. Yeah, 8-18 to 2 points, the final score there. So they're definitely into the quarterfinals. Also into the quarterfinals, Castleknock edge pass Oliver Plunkett's own rule yesterday, Parnell Park. A cracker of a game, has to be said. Castleknock obviously were the beaten finalists last year in the Dublin Senior Football Championship, losing to Vincent's last year, but they're shown they're certainly going to be around for a long time to come. They beat them 2-18 to 2-15 at Parnell Park yesterday. You have to realise the likes of obviously Kieran Kilkenny is playing for Castleknock, and Seamus O'Carroll from Limerick as well. He scored 110 yesterday. He was kind of their star man. Kieran Kilkenny obviously did very well. And then Plunkett's had the likes of the Brogan brothers, Alan and Bernard, also Paul Gavin, three footballers of the year on their side. They've had a very tough championship. First round, they beat Ballyboden. Second round, obviously now losing to Castleknock. So they're out, Plunkett's own Rua, and Castleknock are into the quarterfinals. So the quarterfinal lineup is complete. Now, we're not going to have the quarterfinals till after the All-Ireland Championship, which will hopefully be October by the time these quarterfinals are played. It's going to be Coola, St Vincent's, Chemical Croaks, St Jude, St Sylvester's, St Bridget's, Castleknock and Ballymun. They're all won their second round ties over the last few days. So quarterfinal lineup is complete. We don't know what the draw is going to be yet though.
Now, Derek, we were living the VIP lifestyle at the Aviva Stadium yesterday in the Aviva box at the FAI Junior Cup final. Great win for Sheriff as well. Liffrey Wanderers won the intermediate on penalties. A thrilling match. Cove equalising the last minute. The striker was sent off. He scored the equaliser, took off the jersey. Second yellow card sent off. Great day. But to top it all off, I got to score a penalty in the Aviva. Please tell the listeners.
The highlight of the day for everybody at the Aviva Stadium yesterday.
Please tell the listeners about it. At one stage, the Sheriff fans were chanting my name.
Well, 98FM Big Breakfast, Stephen Cooper was putting goal to face about 10 penalties, I think it was, from prize winners who got to take penalties against him. Fair to say he's not the next Paddy Bonner. I don't think Martin O'Neill is going to be eyeing him up for the World Cup qualifiers over the next few weeks. He conceded all 10 goals, and then the 11th goal was from your good self, and it was Dave O'Leary-esque, top corner.
And where can people see this video?
We're going to put it up on Facebook now and on Twitter to show off your silky skills. But yes. Martin O'Neill, give it a look here, Martin O'Neill, because if you need a penalty shootout
hero
over the next few weeks, Jimmy Moore's your man.
Thank you very much. At 98FM Sport to see that video. I also looked great, in fairness.
He did look great in your fancy new jeans.
The first man to ever score a penalty on the Aviva wearing Converse, I think.
Very good, there you go.
Now, Shamrock Rovers continue their push up the SSER Trissy League Premier Division table on Friday night. The Hoops beat Dublin rivals Bowes 2-0 at Dalyman Park. First half goals from Brandon Mealy, and a Trevor Clark cracker secured the points. Their second win in a row moves them up to fifth in the table. And after a poor points total in the first third of the season, the head coach Stephen Bradley was a very happy man afterwards. Of course, they beat Dundalk the week before. Stephen, well done. Things are going well the last couple of weeks. Another really good win tonight.
Yeah, I thought we played well. We were excellent first half, and then managed to get them really well second half, and we never looked in any sort of danger. No, I thought we were excellent.
Scored two really good goals, but would it be more pleasing or as pleasing the fact that Bowles just, I don't think Tomer had one shot to save, and it was the same almost last week apart from the last minute goal for Dundalk, and the previous week you conceded a few in Bray?
Yeah, no, after the Bray game, Stem had a good chat. We had a look at the video and we knew as a group it wasn't good enough. We were too easy to play against, chances were too easy giving up, and like you said, we've improved. The lads have taken on board the last 2 weeks. We've been very strong defensively as a team. And we haven't, like you said, Tomer didn't have to make one shot or a save tonight, so it was really pleasing.
Your squad is packed with young attacking talent, and two of those people, Brandon Mealy and Trevor Clark, scored your goals. You would have had a good view from that dugout. Two brilliant strikes.
Yeah, Brandon's one is great technique because it's coming across his body and he hits a right foot. It's a hard one to keep down and he puts in the bottom corner. Brandon has that in him, like, you know. And then Trevor's one, once Trevor stands up like that, he can shift left or right, and he's so sharp. I don't think there's many defenders that can stay with him when he does that. He's played left back for us this year, and then you see him last week left wing and tonight right wing, and he's always stands out no matter what position they play.
Managerial masterstroke playing him on his wrong side as such, probably wouldn't have scored that goal on the left.
No, look, we talked about where's he most dangerous for us, like, you know, and it's obviously high up the pitch, like, you know, and we knew tonight he'd get chances to come inside and play off his left, and luckily for us he did. He got a chance, flipped by defender and back it in.
Second half wasn't as exciting for us watching, but I'm sure you didn't mind too much the fact that you just contained balls and maybe a couple of times when your physio was on us, just to slow the game down and control it.
Yeah, it's about managing the game. You know, we haven't managed games this year when we've been ahead. Limerick, Finn Harps, we haven't managed them well, and like I said, it shows the group are learning, and they managed the game really well. We saw it out and we're never in any sort of danger.
We're getting closer now to the summer break towards the end of May. To plan to try and keep this hit and run going and build yourselves towards the top four.
Yeah, that's always been our goal, you know. We've been frustrated in the first round of games because we haven't had as many points as, look, we hadn't deserved to have more wins, but we're better than that as a group, like, you know, and we had a good chat about it, and we started off this round with two wins, and we need to keep pushing on, like, you know.
And just finally, we saw this morning the graffiti in Tallaght on the Milltown Memorial. Did you have a view on that?
No, look, it's not for me to comment. I think it's disgraceful, but look, the clubs will do it.
Stephen, thanks a million, well done.
Cheers, thank you.
Yes, whoever sprayed that graffiti should be ashamed of themselves. Now, some big news emerged from the Bowes camp after the match when I spoke to the manager, Keith Long. He gave us the latest on his star striker, Izzy Akinade, who's been out all season after having his spleen removed, which I'm sure is very, very painful. On medical advice, Akinade hasn't featured since a 3-2 win over Sligo back in August, and Keith gave us this injury update after the game.
Yeah, he's in hospital at the moment. He got a blood clot, he's just in hospital. There's nothing to be too concerned about in relation to the blood clot. Apparently it's natural after the surgery that he's had, so he's not necessarily set back in his recovery. So I don't think from that point of view, he's been out a couple of days. He was feeling a little bit unwell, so
Any kind of time frame, sir?
No, we don't know. We're guided by the surgery. It was invasive surgery. What's his name? Doherty, the goalkeeper up at Derry, had it out, but he had it out through keyhole surgery, so a slightly different process. Izzy went in January to get it out by keyhole, so and the surgeon refused to do it at that time, so he had to have a more invasive operation. So so his recovery time will be, we'll be looking at, you know, the other side of the summer break, I'd imagine.
Yeah, what a big miss Akinade has been. You can hear more from Keith Long and Stephen Bradley in the podcast section of 98fm.com. Now, Derek, Ireland's Euro 2017 under-17 dream is over. The boys in green beaten 1-0 by England yesterday in the quarter-final. Tell us more, please.
Yeah, disappointment yesterday, Jamie. Well, I suppose we just edged into the quarter-finals with a 7-0 loss to Germany during the week. It was kind of a strange situation where Ireland lost 7-0 on, I think it was Thursday, was it Wednesday or Thursday?
And
after
Wednesday.
After the game, everyone was kind of slightly disappointed and then suddenly realised they actually reached the quarterfinals based on other results and started jumping around the place after 7-0 loss. Got into the quarterfinals, lost to England yesterday, sadly. 1-0, not a bad result considering England have done very well in this tournament. Impressive wins over Holland, Ukraine and Norway in the tournament so far. So England are a very strong side. Jadon Sancho, who plays for Manchester City, so that's the kind of talent you're coming up against when you're playing England. He scored an absolute cracker, 30-yard strike to dump Ireland out of the Euro 2017 under-17s championship. Just watching it here, and it is an absolute cracker of a goal. Ireland, like I say, we're fairly lucky to reach the quarterfinals, but a disappointing end to the campaign. A couple of chances for Ireland in the game, and a couple of chances for England as well to even move further ahead. But there's one chance quite late. Joe Redmond had a volley cleared off the line with 8 minutes remaining, which would have given Ireland a chance to get into extra time, but it was cleared off the line and Ireland lost 1-0.
Yes, and Ireland could have qualified for the World Cup, in fact, had they got through that game. The semi-finalists make the World Cup, which is in India later in the year. They played Bosnia, who they beat in the group and also lost to Serbia. So it was quite disappointing to finish with a 7-0 and a 1-0 defeat, Derek. But overall, their qualification campaign was quite fantastic.
Yeah, 6 wins in the qualification campaign and then the 7th win. So 7 wins in the last 10 games, which is a pretty decent record, has to be said. So yeah, I mean, I suppose there's a lot of positivity coming out of it. Would have been so disappointing to be knocked out on Wednesday, having lost 7-0 to Germany and that being your final game. But losing 1-0 to England is certainly no disgrace, considering the talent that England have available to them. Like I say, the likes of these Manchester City players who we'll probably see over the next few years in the Manchester City team and squad. So yeah, seven wins in the last 10 games to reach the quarterfinals, so certainly nothing to be too disgraced about there.
Yes, the head coach Colin O'Brien has been speaking to FAI TV.
Very proud of all the players and all the staff, especially today. You know, it was our game of redemption. Everybody played as a team today, within the team. We knew it was going to be a tough game. We knew we had to concede possession for long periods. England are a high quality team. Expecting to go far in this competition, and today, you know, defensively we were far better. We stayed in the game for longer periods today, and our boys are after getting huge experience over this. We've got to quarterfinals, the furthest we've been in a long, long time, and you know, we've 6 players in that squad that are underage again next year. They're after getting huge experience, and the boys now that finished under 17 season go on to 18s, and I've no doubt some will be pushing the 19s, and that can be only good for our players going forward for European competition.
What does it say about the character of your squad with the reaction that you got to the defeat against Germany?
Oh, look, there's great character within the squad. It's been there all season. Sometimes some players just need a wake-up call, and that was that game against Germany, without a doubt. But today they showed, you know, by working as a team, by understanding how you'd have to set up as a team defensively against high quality, what you'd have to do, what you'd have to sacrifice. They did that to a man today, and they stayed in the game right to the death. But look, England are quality. But you know, we're after getting huge experience from this, and as I said, it can only be good for the boys for the future.
Campaign as a whole, we had 10 games, 7 wins in that, and just 3 defeats. How do you summarise the overall journey?
Well, we've got the maximum out of our season. That's one of our objectives at the start. You know, for some people mightn't realise you've got to get out of 2 qualifying campaigns to get here. They're very tricky assignments. We've done that, but for us to get to you know, European finals, we're a small nation. We don't have a huge pick. We have to be realistic when we're playing bigger countries, and the players would have learned that. To get the opportunity to play some of the countries we did in the last couple of weeks has been great for our players' future, and that's really important.
Yeah, what a campaign by the boys in green. The head coach Colin O'Brien there speaking to FAI TV. Derek, are you a superstitious man?
Slightly, yeah, I have to say. Why?
So we're going to chat to Wes Hoolan after the break. Do you remember when he scored the goal against Sweden at the Euros? Do you remember
the
celebration?
Yes. No. Not
do you remember anything about the picture?
No, go on. Tell us.
So he was wearing a chain, a gold chain, which is not allowed. The linesmen normally stop you.
Oh, yeah.
And because I'm an eagle-eyed guy, I spotted it. And I asked Wes about it, and here's what he's going to tell us after the break.
When I was going on the pitch against France, they managed to spot it, and they ended up taking it off me.
Ah, that's why we lost, Wes. It's all about the chain, the lucky chain, huh?
You know what I mean? If I bring that holy medal on the pitch, maybe I had a chance of winning.
Yeah, he wore it in the other games, and the linesmen didn't spot it, but they spotted it against France and Ireland were knocked out.
I think they must have seen maybe his celebration in the goal, and he should have celebrated, obviously. He should have kept it quiet.
Indeed, we're going to chat to Wes. Exclusive interview coming with you after the break.
98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport.
Back live this Sunday morning from 9.
98FM.